So today we're going to talk about faith and filling our faith bucket. And one of the things that we have to do, you know, is we have to do routine maintenance on different things. Running out of gas is one of the big things, you know. Most cars these days have a little light that comes on with a little fuel pump by it. It tells you, you know, you've got like 25 miles left. Some cars have a distance to empty readout on them, how many miles you can go before it runs out of gas. And my wife doesn't like to put gas in cars, so it usually gets, as soon as it gets down below 10 miles, she'll tell me to put gas in. And so I do it. But my rule has always been it gets to a quarter of a tank, you fill the tank up. You know what happens if you don't fill the tank? The car won't run. It's just that simple. Same thing with a phone. You know, my kids will charge their phones a couple of times a day because they're on them all the time. They never put the phone down. Now, for me, a charge lasts 2 or 3 days at least, and I don't pay attention to it. So then I'll be talking to somebody on the phone, and it goes dead. That's my fault because I just don't remember to charge it. I do the same thing with eating, you know. I often skip breakfast and sometimes lunch because I'll get busy and I just won't think about it. And then about 4 p.m, you know, I come to the realization, well, fat guys are always hungry anyway, so I have to eat something else. I get really cranky. You know, I get cranky if I don't feed the beast. And the same thing is true with attitude. Yeah, it needs a constant check. As I said earlier today, by nature, I'm a glass half empty and not a glass half full person. And, you know, by nature, I'm an angry pessimist. But my faith lures me to become a grateful optimist. Sometimes that goes away. Attitude leaks. Just like faith, it leaks away from us. It needs regular maintenance. The tank needs to be filled. I need faith boosters regularly. Now, sometimes our energy just lags and we need a booster. I think one of the best boosters is coffee and a sweet treat. Stroop waffles is, now, of course, Americans pronounce them stroop waffles, but you want to be a true Hollander. It's a stroop waffle, and that just means a syrup cookie. And, you know, that with a cup of coffee will fix just about anything. Or a nap, or even going for a walk. But, you know, your attitude can lag, your faith can lag at times too. A loss of any kind can trigger a faith lag. You know, you lose your health, you lose a loved one, you lose just about anything. Can trigger a lag in your faith. Or you fall into self-pity and you start procrastinating. You lack a zeal for life. What do you do about it? You know, we're not going to succeed ever, I don't think, in stopping our faith from leaking out. We need to fill that tank regularly. And no one can fill it for you. That tank is self-service only. You have to fill that tank. That's a job you need to take on. So how do you do that? Well, Timothy, who was Paul's protege, seemed to be leaking faith fast. Paul is in prison, chained to a Roman soldier in Rome, and he's writing to Timothy in Ephesus, trying to encourage him with these letters. Now, those of you who go a little bit further, a little bit deeper, if you check out 2 Timothy online, you go to places like Wikipedia or some other sites, they will tell you that 2 Timothy is a forgery. I don't agree with that. Now, it's obvious by the language in it, by the sentence structure, that Paul didn't write it. But I think he dictated it. And he had somebody else write the thoughts down for him. You know, I mean, he was chained to a Roman soldier. How is he going to write? So I think he dictated it. The content is definitely consistent with what Paul taught. So I think it's the real thing. Here he goes in this letter. This is his second letter to Timothy. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Now, Timothy's obviously not his physical son, not his biological son. He's his spiritual son. He's his protege. Timothy was known, if you look through the letters, as being kind of timid. He was shy. He would walk into a room full of people and kind of, you know, hide. I've always noticed that with my twins. You know, one of them is extremely outgoing and kind of like a Labrador, wants to meet everybody and lick them, you know, it's just real friendly. And the other one is more like a Rottweiler who prefers to stand in the corner and growl, doesn't really want to meet people. And that's the difference between it. Timothy was one of the timid ones. And it says that he had stomach issues. Paul tells him later that he should drink some wine to calm his stomach down. So he was obviously a nervous person. Now, there's certain factions of Catholicism that if you have digestive disorders, you pray to St. Timothy because he's the patron saint of belly aches. So, yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just kind of humorous, I think. But the point is that Timothy was highly esteemed by Paul. And he goes on with this. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I'll be filled with joy when we are together again. Now, think about that. Has anyone ever thanked God for you? And if they have, you know, when you hear of it, it really changes you. Now, I'm wondering how Timothy had to feel when he read this the first time. I wonder what was going through his head. Paul goes on with this. He says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. This was a generational faith. He was influenced by his family, obviously, and he said this faith continues to be strong in you. Yet Paul thought it was necessary, if you look at verse 6, for Timothy to fan the flames of the spiritual gift that God had given him. He needed a faith booster. He needed to fan the flames. And Paul couldn't do that for Timothy. Timothy had to do that for himself. There's a lot of miles between him and a lot going on with Paul there in prison. And now comes verse 7. I think this is the most important verse of this passage. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. It's a reminder of what we've been given. Because faith is a gift, first of all. You don't have it unless God opens the door for you. Faith is a gift, but it's also a decision. It's a decision to follow. Now, for me, I can't not believe in God. If I tried, I would fail at it because there's just too much evidence around him. Guys, those of us who've watched our children being born know that God exists. You can't deny it. There's too much evidence. Or even look at an oak tree with this irritating pollen that collects in my nose. But you look at that, of course there's a creator. But the decision to trust him comes after that. You know, it's easy to think that God exists, but deciding to trust him is another thing. And deciding to obey him is another thing. And Timothy needed to be reminded of this. And so do I. That's why I have this verse hanging on the wall in my office at home. We all need to be reminded of that. You need to be reminded of it, and I need to be reminded of it. Well, the interesting thing of this verse, the word power there, comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is the word that we get the word dynamite from. It's an explosive kind of power that God gives us. And the word love there comes from the Greek word agape, which means a love that's different than your love for Little Caesar's pizza. It's a love that's willing to sacrifice. So you have self-discipline along with that. Another interesting Greek word, it can mean self-control. In this context, it means managing the distractions to your faith. Not to overreact to the negative things going on around you. Not to get blown away when somebody tries to hurt you. Self-discipline means that we respond well in negative situations. And Paul was certainly setting the example for that there in that prison. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Now, this is basic Paul teaching here. It comes through in almost all of his letters, where he's not ashamed to be in prison. And we know from extra-biblical data that Timothy ended up in prison twice. Under two different Caesars, he managed to irritate the Roman government and get imprisoned, and he got out again too. But this passage talks about how we are saved and called, if you look at verse 9. Not because we deserve it, but because of who Jesus is. And I just want to make sure everybody knows that. You know, the vertical, our relationship with God is taken care of. Jesus took care of that for us. The horizontal relationships with each other is what we need to work on. But the vertical is taken care of. And we all need to know that. Going on to verse 10. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. See, Paul is emphatic about the fact that God revealed himself in Jesus. You want to know what God is really like? You read the Gospels. You see the actions of Jesus. That's what God is like. And God chose Paul and Timothy and all of you to represent him. Just like he chooses you and me to be his representatives to whomever we meet. We represent Jesus to everyone that we see. And Paul goes on. He says this, "That's why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return." See, Paul needed a faith booster too. I mean, prison had to be a downer. Can you imagine being chained to a Roman soldier for like 3 years? It had to be kind of rough. And he was in prison for doing what he was called to do. For whatever reason, well, multiple reasons, the Roman government at that time was scared to death of Christians, just like they were of Jews before, because the Christians would not swear allegiance to Caesar. So they didn't like them very much. When I was in England a couple of months ago, I got to the town of Bath, which is called Bath because there's a Roman bath there. It dates back to the time when the Romans controlled England. And I had to spend quite a bit of time there. My family decided to go for ice cream while I was touring the baths, but it was really interesting. And this is one of the things that I saw in the museum there. That is an incense altar. And what the Romans, what you had to do if you were a Roman citizen, is once a year you would meet with a magistrate at one of those altars. And I was thrilled I could actually touch it. And what they did is they put a handful of incense mixed with charcoal on that altar, set fire to it, and then they had to say a prayer to Caesar and say that Caesar was Lord. The Christians wouldn't do that. And so they got put in prison. They got executed. They got fed to lions. They got tortured. They got all kinds of nasty things done to them because they would not say Caesar is God. And if you could translate the Latin on the base of that thing, that's exactly what it says, the divine Caesar. So it's that's why Paul was in prison. He was promoting that, and that's why a lot of them got into trouble. The point is that he meant business of what he was doing. Now, none of us have had to go to prison because of what we believe, and that's a good thing. But in those days, that was not the case. So they needed to have their faith built up from time to time. Paul goes on with this. He says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. He says, hold on to this faith. Now, why did Timothy need to be told this? Why do you suppose Paul felt like he needed to tell Timothy that? Because faith leaks, and you need to hold on to it. Here he's talking about faith. He uses the word pistuo, which is a Greek word meaning to trust. He says, guard the trust that you have. The word love in there again is from agape, a sacrificial love. He says, now guard this precious truth. Keep it going. Because in just normal day-to-day life, faith leaks. Now, we all get spiritual doldrums. You do and I do. You know, I was talking with my daughter who's working on a master's degree right now. And she was complaining she had to come up with a 20-page paper. And I said, you know, prepping for every worship service is like writing a 15-page paper. And I've been doing that every week for over 40 years. And she couldn't believe it, so I had to show her. But that, you know, that is what it's like. Now, sometimes it's really hard to make myself do it. And if I prep for a Sunday service just to get it done, I'm miserable. It's not fun at all. But if I do it because someone needs to hear this message, it's easy and it's fun. If I focus on myself, it's a tedious job. But if I focus on others, it's a joy. See, the doldrums, the spiritual doldrums go away when we do acts of service. Now, I want to give you three or four things that you can do right now to keep your faith revived. I use them and they actually work. The first one of those is daily reflection, where you set aside 10 to 15 minutes a day for prayer, meditation, or reading. Now, some days 15 minutes doesn't cut it. So there's really a lot of stuff going on. Some days it goes as long as 3 hours for me. But I can do that. I have to spend a lot of time listening to what God wants me to do. And by the way, these daily Bible readings in your bulletins, if you follow those two chapters of the Bible a day, are a major help in that daily reflection. Another thing that we can do is acts of service. You know, you look for small, intentional ways to show kindness and love to your neighbors. It's very easy. Just a compliment goes a long way. Say your neighbor buys the ugliest car available. You go up to him and you say, oh, new car, cool. You know, just a little thing like that can make all the difference. Or bringing food to somebody who needs it. Encouraging words are a great act of service. And just volunteering for everything you can. Those are acts of service. And what the kicker with this is, I don't believe that spiritual growth is possible without service. You can go to all the Bible studies you want, all the worship services you want. You're not going to grow spiritually unless you're serving somewhere. Another one is gratitude practice. I have to make a conscious list of what I'm thankful for to remind myself of God's grace. First thing every morning, I do that. I keep a gratitude journal. It's computerized, has a code on it so nobody else can see it. I do this every day. And every day there is something for which you can be thankful. It just helps to write it down. Because if you're thinking of the things for which you are thankful, your complaints are greatly reduced. And it actually works. And of course, the last one is to attend worship services. You're all here, so that's a good thing. Those of you online, can't stress how important that is. I'm grateful that you're watching this, but you need to go to a church too and make sure that happens. Just use me as a supplement. Attending worship services center you. It helps to fill your tank, and I recommend going at least weekly. Now, I don't want anybody here to end up a grumpy old man. When I saw these pictures, I said, well, that's Diane and I in about 5 years. But, you know, I can just hear that old boy. Can't you hear him too? You know, he probably goes to McDonald's at 10 o'clock every morning for coffee. And he complains. He complains about his health. He complains about the government. And then the one that's been around since the 60s, those kids these days. And I can just hear it. I don't want to be like that. And I don't want you to be like that. I want you to have a robust spiritual life. Now, if your main focus is on yourself, your spiritual life is going to shrivel up and blow away. But if your focus is on being a representative of Jesus, your spirit will prosper. Remember, he has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. But you have to fan these things into flames. And when you do so, your soul will prosper. And everyone around you is going to notice. Everyone around you will benefit. But you will benefit the most. So pray with me, please. Lord, we want our faith boosted. We want our faith to be strong. We know that we're at our best when we're representing you. So remind us of this. Remind us of that spirit of power, love, and love that you've given us. And move us forward as your followers in all these things. Amen.